This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Not just any old Jan Vermeulen, Jan Vermeulen, editor at large for mybroadband.co.za. Great to have you with me again. Jan, are you well?
I am well, and it's a pleasure to be here.
That's good to know. There are two issues I want to discuss with you. The first is
one thing though, I have to toot my own horn for just a second. I am now just the editor of my broadband.
And is that a good thing?
Yes, that is a promotion. That means that I have the power now.
Okay, well, we like that. We like to talk to the people with the power. That's going to the source. That is awesome. We will make a note of that and change things going forward. But, in terms of tech news, you're going to talk to me about the fact that it could or might or might not be a criminal offense to instigate people to break down lockdown rules. Definitely something I want to talk to you about. Also, I'm chancing it here because I don't know how much you know about the story about the Bitcoin theft or heist or whatever it is, but it's all over my broadband.
Too much, unfortunately.
You're going to have to condense that because we've got to do this in 6 minutes, but you're going to have to tell me what on earth is going on because I don't get it. But
It is such a convoluted story. It's actually divine. I hope Netflix makes a special out of it one day. So the situation with this AfriCrypt thing, I've been following this story since April, but it wasn't a particularly interesting case. And so you saw none of the media picked it up until there was a story published on one of our competitors' websites, not to denigrate them. I think they did phenomenal work. That reported a claim from a lawyer in Cape Town who said that $3.5 billion worth of Bitcoin had been stolen, 51 billion rand worth. Naturally, this grabs headlines and attention. So all of a sudden, people are interested in AfriCrypt when no one cared. And everybody was asking, how on earth does 51 billion in Bitcoin, go up in smoke in April and no one is talking about it? It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense. If you think about MTI, where the last best estimate we have is, that 29,000 Bitcoin flowed through MTI, the reporting out of Bloomberg, in the end, also quoting the same lawyer from Cape Town, is that there were over 69,000 Bitcoin that had gone through AfriCrypt, right? And so that amount of money, there is no way that the internet doesn't explode with people complaining, right? Just my own experience with MTI, I was immediately dubious about the sum of money, and also was out of line with what I had seen from my investigation that dates back to April. Anyway, so it turns out that indeed the amount is completely extraordinary. I spoke to a lawyer who represents a group of investors who instituted legal proceedings, a liquidation claim. They got a provisional liquidation approved back in April. Yeah. And their claims, the initial claim that got the provisional liquidation was like 66 million rand. And now the total claims on the books that in front of the liquidators right now, the provisional liquidators, is around 140, 150 million rand. They think that could go as high as 500 million with the outstanding claims still out there. That's still a sizable chunk of money. It's not 50 billion. But that's a lot of Bitcoin it kind of gets lost in amongst the trying to get the real information out there. But perhaps what you want to know is how people got scammed in this way. And so AfriCrypt was yet another, scheme that promised returns in excess of 10% a month, depositing your Bitcoin within. And they had a magical AI trading bot. Stop me if you've heard the story before.
No, go on.
That generates this return for people. But obviously there was no magical AI trading bot. If such a bot existed, it would change the dynamics of the cryptocurrency markets immediately. So we know that a bot like that can't exist, but yet people still fall, for these kinds of scams. And in fairness, from chatting to some of the investors around AfriCrypt, the one character here, one of the Kaji brothers, his name is Raiz Kaji. It's him and his brother Amir, who did this thing. And apparently Raiz is just phenomenal. He's charismatic. He is articulate. Like, he's just a world-class con man. And so, when I spoke to the person and I said that the story you're telling me reminds me a lot of the Catch Me If You Can guy, you know, played by Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is also based on a real story, a real con man who committed a bunch of check fraud in the United States, gets caught, and then ends up working for the FBI. It's that kind of story. This kid, despite the fact that it was 21-year-old, had 40 and 50-year-old seasoned businessmen parting with their Bitcoin. He was that good. And so this other investor said, not to blow smoke, perhaps it's just to let people know, you know, people feel ashamed when they fall for scams like this. Don't feel ashamed. Feel angry. Feel angry at the person who stole your money. And there's no shame in trusting someone, out of the goodness of your heart and then being taken for a ride. There are warning signs to look out for, but I just don't want people to feel guilty or ashamed, for falling for a scam like this.
What's pretty phenomenal to me is the extent to which it has penetrated the investment community, because if you've lost 51 billion, okay, you said it wasn't 51 billion, but nevertheless, to have, attracted that amount of investors to your company means there are a lot of people out there. The pool's big.
Right. So the investigation is showing that part of the reason they might be on the run is that this money might not be particularly wholesome. And so that's the problem with these scams. You think you're just going to run an innocent little pyramid or Ponzi. You know, you're going to turn around a quick buck. You're going to make sure that it's pretty much a victimless crime. However you get to sleep at night. But then what ends up happening is the underworld catches wind of what you're doing and they pump tens of millions or hundreds of millions of rands into your scheme.
Laundering their funds.
To wash their money. Yeah. Mm.
So you start the more we probe
AfriCrypt and even MTI, the more those kinds of things come up, and you can kind of understand why regulators want to crack down on the space so hard, but they need to be careful. But that's a discussion for another time. But, that's the problem. And that's the thing these scammers, if there are any scammers listening, I doubt it, but if they ever catch the podcast, then, you know, understand that you might be enabling something far worse and might be stepping into something far bigger than you actually
think it is. Yeah, and we're going to leave it there. We absolutely didn't stick to plan, but I reckon that's actually a good thing. Thank you as always, and we'll chat same time next week.
Catch you next week.